2 Timothy chapter 4, starting to read in verse 9. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he has vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Achaia and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. We've seen throughout our study that this letter was written about A.D. 67, right before the Apostle Paul's death. In A.D. 64, Rome was burned, and the wicked ruler Nero blamed it on the Christians, to a point that it is very dangerous to be a Christian at the time of the writing of this letter. It's much easier to take a low-profile approach to faith. So Paul wrote to Timothy, encouraging him to faithfulness. He said, Timothy, keep utilizing your spiritual giftedness. Keep serving people. Timothy, keep talking about Jesus Christ with others and stay true to the word. As Paul now comes to the end of this time, he's not only going to have challenged Timothy to stay faithful, but he also reminds Timothy that God is always faithful to us. Even when the people and the things we depend on aren't there. We'll see in the first half of this section that oftentimes we grow to depend on people and resources. But we'll go through times in life where all the things that we have grown to rely on won't be available. It's easy for us to just depend on ourselves or our resources, to build networks into our life, to have, in a sense, redundant systems built in so that if something fails, we can fall back on this. And if that fails, we can fall back on this. We depend on our spouse, on our family, on our friends. And yet, there'll be times in our lives when we go through circumstances where those people may not be there. Those things may not be there. I had a very good conversation with one of our men in church this past week, who he and his wife are going through some very hard times on multiple fronts in their lives. And one of the interesting comments he made to me was, he said, you know, I think sometimes God allows us to go through these things to remind us that we need him. It's a very simple concept, very true concept. That God wants to bring us back to that point where we ultimately see that he is the only sure source of strength and empowerment that we have. Now, in Paul's case, here as he closes out this letter, some of those that he has leaned on in his life have been drawn away from him, and they've been drawn away from Jesus Christ by the allure of this world. And so that is the focus of this first half of this section. That there's times when brothers and sisters in the Lord won't be there. There are times when we hang on too tight to the things of this earth, so much so that we pull ourselves away from doing God's things first. And there may be people that God wants us to reach out to and to serve and to encourage, but we're not there because this place in which we live has become too important to us. And that's what Paul writes about to Timothy in verses 9 through 16. That we'll experience times when brothers and sisters in Christ will not support us because their love of the world has pulled them away from serving Jesus Christ. Verse 9 begins this way. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, "Make every effort to come to me soon." We saw down in verse 6 that Paul was quite certain that his death was sure. It was imminent. He said, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." And writings from outside of the New Testament confirm that. That shortly after completing this letter, the Apostle Paul was killed because of his faith in Jesus Christ. So he writes to Timothy and says, "You need to come to me soon." And he even gives him further explanation in verse 10 with that little word "for." "Come, make every effort to come to me soon, for," or because, "Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Now there's two other people listed in this verse, this Crescens and Titus. Most likely they have gone out on good terms, serving and ministering for Jesus Christ. But Demas here, it says he's deserted Paul. In fact, the only person that's still with Paul is Luke. And Luke has been faithfully standing by Paul, but Paul has some needs that aren't being met. If you look down in verse 16, in the series of the judicial system in which Paul is in right now, the very first part of that, it says, "At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me." And again, remember, in the atmosphere of the writing of this letter, it's not popular to be a Christian. It's definitely not popular to be a friend of Paul's. Paul's not judgmental. He calls on the Lord not to hold that against them. But he has needs that aren't being met because, for example, this guy Demas has grown to a point in his life where the things of this earth have pulled him away from his first love of Jesus Christ. They have pulled him away from serving Jesus Christ with his life. It may not mean that he's turned his back on Christ or rejected his Christianity, but the things of this earth have grown more important to him than being 100% sold out for the person of Jesus Christ. So he says, "Timothy, you need to come. I have some practical needs." He asked Timothy to bring his coat. If you look down in verse 13, "When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments." He also takes an opportunity to warn Timothy about this guy Alexander. This one who has been, and it's according to verse 15, vigorously opposing our teaching. It's not that Paul is trying to get back at Alexander or to somehow hurt Alexander. In fact, he says in verse 14, the Lord's going to repay him. But he's not going to sit back idly and allow this Alexander to hurt Timothy as well. God will judge him. We don't have to. God will deal with his sin and his rebellion. But Timothy, be careful for this man. So we find Paul in a dungeon, most likely penning these last words, chained. And in a very real way, alone. In a very real way, having been deserted. And in the case of Demas, having been deserted by one who was really close to him. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy and turn back a few pages toward the front of your Bible to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we want to look at verse 14. Colossians 4, 14. And in verse 14 of Colossians 4, we read this. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. So here in the book of Colossians, we see that Demas was along with Luke, with Paul in the writing of this book of Colossians. Now, keep your finger in 2 Timothy and go toward Revelation, to the little book of Philemon, right before Hebrews. You're just probably just going to turn one page. Philemon only has one chapter, so we need to look at verses 23 and 24. It says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. So here, Demas is underneath this category of being a fellow worker of the Apostle Paul. So we have this one who's served alongside of Paul, who's been there in serving Jesus Christ. And yet, Paul says, Timothy, you need to come quick because Demas has deserted me. Why? Because he's loved this present world. The things of this earth have grown too important to him. He doesn't want to risk it anymore. It's not popular to be my friend. Demas probably didn't say, well, I am going to abandon Paul. He probably didn't make a conscious choice in his mind to say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to start loving this world more than loving Jesus Christ. I'm sure he didn't reject his faith in Christ or reject Christianity. He even could have rationalized and said, you know, it's really not a good time for me to be here in Rome. I've got a lot of commitments back at home in Thessalonica. I think I need to it's just not good for my schedule. I need to leave. And we find in the man Demas one who probably in a slow process allowed the world to take a grip on his heart and pull him away from solely being committed to the person of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, I am going to be driving up to North Dakota, where I used to live. And I'll be going this evening to the town I used to live, a little town of Mayville, North Dakota, just around under, it's about 1,500 people. And Mayville has a twin city, Portland, North Dakota. It's North Dakota's version of Minneapolis-St. Paul. And Portland, North Dakota has 800 people in it. So you've got about 2,300 people between the two towns. And between the two towns is 1 mile of highway. When I lived there, right in the center between these two thriving cosmopolitan areas, was an Eagles club. Now, you may not be familiar with the Eagles, but it was basically a big bar. And it had about 30 years worth of smoking inside of it. It was not a smoke-free environment. If you've ever lived in a small town, you'll know that there's not a lot of gathering places. So oftentimes, if someone was going to have a reception or something like that, it would happen at the Eagles. So there were occasions when my wife and I would go to some reception to honor someone that had retired or whatever. And we'd go and everything would be fine. And then we'd come out, get into our car, having been inside that building for about an hour, and the first thing that would hit us is, man, what is that smell? And then we realized it was us. That 30 year of residual smoke just permeated all of our clothing. weren't really conscious of it while we were there. Oh, when you first walked in, you get used to it. But just slowly, it affected us. Slowly, it started to take hold of our garments and penetrated. And that's what the culture in which we live can do in a very real way in your life and my life. In a very real way, the Apostle Paul could probably write about you and me at times during our lives the same thing he's written about Demas. What does the Bible, what does 2 Timothy show us about signs of maybe the world or the culture in which we live taking on too much importance in our lives? Let's look back. We've seen several of these things. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, talked about the centrality of Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It helps show us the path we're supposed to be on. If we get off, it helps us see that we've gotten off. It helps really charge us to get back on God's path and helps us stay there. It says that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. But then when we come down to chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth. And one of the things that we can see as a sign of the world grabbing on, infiltrating our heart, affecting us, is when we start in our own minds rationalizing and saying things like, I know the Bible says that, but. Whenever we use that phrase in our hearts and in our minds, we're on dangerous ground. I know the Bible says that, but. And one of the marks that the world is getting a hold of our hearts and our minds is when we start rationalizing away the Scripture. Another thing that the Apostle Paul gives us as a sign that the world may be becoming too important to us was in chapter 3 in verse 12 when he said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And we asked ourselves when we were in that section, do I ever suffer because I'm a Christian? Does anyone ever ridicule me? Does anyone ever treat me harshly? Does anyone try to take advantage of me because they see Christ in my life? And if our answer to that is no, it could be that we have so isolated ourselves from the world that no non-Christians have an opportunity to even see Christ in us. Or it could be that we have allowed the world to infiltrate our hearts and our minds so much that people don't see much difference between my life and their life. So a mark of the world becoming too important to us may be number one, that I'm trying to push the Scriptures away from my life. Another mark may be that I'm never suffering because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. A third thing that we saw here in 2 Timothy was in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul wrote this, but realize this, in last times, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, just self-oriented, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And we can read that list. Say, does that ever resemble my life? Do things become more important to me than God? Do I find that I have irreconciled relationships that I have not made any attempt to fix. Sometimes we can't control the other person, but we can control our heart. What does my life resemble? Another mark that we've seen here in 2 Timothy is that focus on self that we see here in chapter 3. Well, while that's very discouraging here in chapter 4, when Paul said, you know, Demas left me. Because Demas just got too connected to this world. We also see encouragement. Because if you're anything like me, I'm sure that there's probably times when you think about some of these marks of loving the world too much, we're probably guilty. And yet, there's still hope. And the Apostle Paul learned the importance of being patient and gracious, even when we look into the lives of our own self or the lives of another brother or sister in Christ and see, at least at that moment, that the world is having too much effect on their life. And we see that hope embedded here just in a little phrase in verse 11. Because Paul wrote, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." Now, the reason that verse gives us hope is because Mark, earlier in his life, in a very similar way, had deserted Paul, just like Demas did. And I'm sure in Paul's mind, he was thinking the same thing. John Mark is loving this world too much. Look with me over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we're going to read verse 13. And in Acts 13, verse 13, we read this. "Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem." Now if you make note of that, and then look at chapter 15 of the book of Acts, verse 36, we see the Apostle Paul getting ready to go out on a second missionary journey, verse 36. "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with him also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord." Paul got in such a disagreement with Barnabas over this young guy, John Mark, that they had to part ways. Paul went this way, Barnabas went this way. This young guy, who most likely had grown to love the world more than his complete commitment to Jesus Christ, had deserted him once, and Paul says, "Forget it. If you want to take him, you're on your own. I've got ministry to do." And yet, later in life, because a Barnabas, an encourager, was willing to build into the life of that young man, John Mark, we find Paul here in verse 11, the last words he pens, his death imminent, saying, "Send along Mark, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service." Now that's hope. You see, by the end of his life, the Apostle Paul saw that even though this young guy's priorities were mixed up, and even though Paul saw him as a liability and didn't want to bring him along, God wasn't done with him yet. God still did a work in his life. And at the end of Paul's life, he's saying, "Send along Mark. He's useful." So as we look at this passage of Scripture, for some of us, we may need to be evaluating and saying, man, is my life like Demas? Am I allowing the things of this earth to infiltrate my heart so that I'm hanging on too tight to this stuff that's pulling me away from my first love to Jesus Christ? It's affecting my service to Him. It's affecting my priorities. For some of us, it may be a call to be a Barnabas. There may be someone within our web of relationship who needs to grow in their commitment with Jesus Christ, and maybe God's laying on your heart to be an encourager to that person, to come alongside of them and help bring them along in their walk. For some of us, we may be like the Apostle Paul, who needs to extend some grace and allow that one to progress. And for some of us, we may be just there with Demas, and it may require us to say, you know, Lord, I've allowed the world to have too much of a role in my life. Please forgive me and confess our sin. Father, I thank you for 2 Timothy and the lessons we can learn from Paul and from Demas. And pray that you, by your Spirit, would help us see if we're loving this present world more than loving you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.